I'm reading a beautiful and very moving little novel by a person named Marilyn Robinson, and the name of the novel is Lila. There is a place in the book where Lila, who is a young woman at the time, has asked an old preacher to baptize her. And when he baptizes her, she says this: "He surely did look like he meant every word he said. The heavens torn asunder, a dove descending. There was no sign of that at all, except the look on his face and the touch of his hand." It wasn't often in her life that anyone had been so set on doing her good as he was. That look on another human being's face, the touch of another person's hand. One person set on doing good for another person. We have stories of baptism today. We have today's gospel in which Jesus is baptized and then talks about the coming of the kingdom. And he says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near you. Repent and believe in the good news." Jesus said those words then, but Jesus also says those words to us today, believe it or not. "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near." Why doesn't the world believe those words? If we're completely honest with ourselves, why don't we always believe those words? One part of the problem is that certain words in our faith, words like repentance and kingdom of God and good news, have become abstract, almost meaningless. Barbara Brown Taylor says of such words that they have no direct reference to lived experience. People haven't seen clearly enough that we are set on doing good for God and others. We dabble at religion sometimes, but God wants us plunged into the waters of the River Jordan, radically transformed. God wants us to be a person who shakes up and makes nervous the status quo. We're not all that sure we want to be baptized into something that radical and life-changing. The same novel I earlier described tells of the man baptizing as a preacher doing what preachers do to keep you safe. And then she goes on to say, but it might not be the kind of safety you want once you think about it. We have this fear of exploring the real depth of God. We're drawn to God and we long for God, and then when we get close, we get nervous and we get scared. We want the other world, the higher existence, but we also want desperately to stay tethered to this world because it's familiar. Throughout time, God's people have lived in these between spaces of wanting heaven but loving earth. Genesis speaks of a sign of the covenant with God. But the true covenant, as we know now on this side of the cross and after the revelation by Jesus Christ, is not about getting a lot of land and innumerable offspring. It is about taking care of one another. Our psalm says he guides the humble in doing right and teaches his way to the lowly. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and testimony. In other words, loving others is a way that we are faithful to God and the way that now we keep that covenant. In our time, the kingdom of God, the covenant, is found in that liminal space, the place between heaven and earth. True covenant with God speaks of a world in which one human being loves another. You can tell by the look on his face, the touch of his hand. For after all, the greatest commandment is to love God and love neighbor. After all the emphasis on the law, the detailed Jewish law in biblical times, and the legalism too often found in modern religion, the greatest commandment is to love. I wonder sometimes when we leave this world and get, as we say in our burial office, to the nearer presence of God, to heaven, I wonder what the question will be that we face. Some people think it will be something like, why did you do this or that or not do this or that if you wanted to come to heaven? I think the question will be instead, where are the others? If my people lived out the kingdom of God on earth, if they loved one another as I love them, why isn't everyone seeking the God of Jesus Christ? We should be taking care of each other. Thomas Merton echoes this sentiment that we are made, that our whole destiny is to care for one another. He says love is our true destiny. We do not find the meaning of life alone. We find it with another. We find God and we show others God when we treat one another with dignity, with tenderness, and with grace. Because in those times, heaven comes to earth. The kingdom of God has come near you. In those moments, the heavens are torn apart as they were at Jesus' baptism and again at his crucifixion. We have to remember what it means in those passages to say that the heavens were torn apart, or in terms of the crucifixion, that the curtain was torn apart. What that means is that we now have direct access to the kingdom of God, to God, and to grace. And the sign of that total access can often be the look on a face or the touch of a hand. This coming of the kingdom can sound fluffy and almost meaningless, but as one author describes it, it can be both violent and hope-filled. Because when Jesus sees that dove coming down from heaven, the dove doesn't light just on him, but the Holy Spirit enters him. And I'm afraid we lack courage or imagination if we think this story is only about Jesus' designation as one of the children of God. I'm hoping that in our own desert time, perhaps during Lent, we will find in those dry places a time to look within, where we can practice again turning fully toward God, where we can bring the kingdom of God to life in human flesh, not just in Jesus' human flesh in the incarnation, but in ours, in the look of a face, the touch of a hand. We have to ask, though, do we want this power to show people the concrete, lived-out version of the kingdom of God, of repentance, of the good news? Or do we prefer to dabble along the riverbank, never venturing out past wading depth? Do we have the courage to be plunged into the waters of baptism with Jesus and to hear on surfacing, "This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased"? Or does that scare the living heck out of us so that we prefer to stay in a safe pew, broken but unwilling to be reshaped into the image of Christ? How can we give shape and weight and meaning to the words we use in our faith? Repentance, good news, kingdom of God. How can we become closer to God and more tender toward God's people during Lent or any season of our lives? We practice with the look on a face and the touch of a hand. We are good people here. We are God's people. People see God. They see repentance. They hear good news when they have been hurt and find not judgment, not indifference, but a strong shoulder, a listening heart, a healing word, a gentle caress. People don't find the kingdom of God through dogma and theology, through right thinking. I just don't believe we'll get a theology quiz when we reach God's nearer presence. I think we're more likely to hear the question, where are the others? Those others around us, how will they know that the kingdom of God has come near? They will find the kingdom of God as that young woman found the meaning of her baptism. Not really by religion at all, but by the look on a face and by the touch of a hand. Amen.